Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
There we go. Got to make sure we recorded and everything started. So welcome again. It's good to see you this morning. We are in our series. We are the last quarter of our series. Today we're talking about something that I think we all experience and we all have felt, and that is doubt. We looked at very different emotions and very difficult emotions. I was telling as we were praying this morning, I think we can all identify with doubt. We all have doubts at times. The title for this morning is, What If I'm Not Sure? What if I'm not sure? I know that some of the emotions that we talked about have been hard and heavy, so I just want to make sure I say it now before I forget, so let everybody know. If you have questions or if you want to talk further about any of the things that we've discussed over the last couple of months, you can always come and reach out to me, and we can arrange a time for where I can pray for you, talk to you, or anything that you want to discuss or talk about or question, all right? But for today, let me ask you a question. I like to ask questions, right? I think you guys are used to that. Have you ever been absolutely convinced about something? Yes, right? We've all been there. And then you discovered that you were completely wrong. How many times has that happened to people? How many people actually admit to that? Because sometimes it's hard to admit to that, right? Being wrong is hard. Maybe it was about giving directions. Maybe it was about the fact that you confidentially shared with somebody. Maybe it was an argument you had with a friend or a spouse. You were sure, you were completely sure, and then suddenly you weren't anymore. Most of us are comfortable admitting uncertainty about simple, everyday things. But what about uncertainty when it comes to faith? To our faith. That feels a little bit different. It's a little bit harder. Because somewhere along the way, we may think we have it all figured out. But questions come. We picked up this idea that faith means certainty. That faith means confidence. That faith means never questioning. That faith means never struggling. That faith means always knowing. So when we doubt, or when doubt shows up in our lives, we panic. We wonder what is wrong with us. We wonder if we're failing spiritually. We wonder if God is disappointed in us. And because we think that doubt is something good Christians don't experience, we stop talking about it. We hide it. We bury it. We pretend. But what if doubt isn't the enemy we think it is? What if doubt is not proof that faith is dead? What if doubt is one of the places where faith actually grows? Today we're talking about doubt. Not theoretical doubt, real doubt. The kind that appears after disappointment. The kind that appears after unanswered prayers. The kind that appears after loss. The kind that appears after confusion. The kind that whispers, what if I'm not sure? Now let's go back to the scripture this morning. Ezekiel read it for us in John 20:24. Thank you, Ezekiel. He's not here, but thank you to Ezekiel for reading that. In this part of the scripture, we see the story of Thomas. How do we know Thomas? What's the common thing for Thomas? The doubting Thomas, right? We all call him Doubting Thomas. It's almost like his first name has become Doubting, and his last name is Thomas. I feel bad for the guy. Imagine if the Bible remembered us by our worst moments. Angry Jabin, or impatient Jabin, or fearful Jabin. Thankfully, God doesn't define us by our worst moments. But Thomas gets remembered for this one. I think we've been a little unfair to him. Because when we read this story, when we read it too quickly, we miss something important. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to the disciples. And that's important. He wasn't there when he appeared to the disciples. He is told by them. The others had already seen him. The other had already experienced what Thomas missed. The others had already seen the wounds. The others had already heard his voice. The others had already received confirmation. Thomas had not. One detail that is easy to miss in this story is the timeline. Thomas doesn't see Jesus the next day. He has to wait 8 days. 8 days doesn't sound like much, but when you're waiting, when you want to know something, it seems like an eternity. When you live in it, 8 days feels like a long time. 8 days of questions. 8 days of wondering. 8 days of hearing everybody else say, "We saw him." And Thomas is left there thinking, "I haven't." Have you ever been in a space like that? Everybody seems to have a testimony. Everybody else seems to know what God is doing. Everybody else seems confident. And you're sitting there wondering if you're missing something. Thomas had to live in that tension. And sometimes we do too. Sometimes faith looks like staying in the room for 8 more days. Not because all your questions are answered, but because you're still hoping Jesus will show up. So when Thomas says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe," we immediately think, what is wrong with Thomas? But maybe the better question is, what happened to Thomas? Because I don't think Thomas is just doubting. I think Thomas is hurting. Think about what Thomas has experienced. For 3 years, he followed Jesus. For 3 years, he believed Jesus was the Messiah. For 3 years, he imagined a future. And then he watched Jesus be arrested, beaten, mocked, crucified. The cross didn't just kill Jesus. The cross killed Thomas's expectations. The cross killed the future Thomas thought he was walking towards. The cross shattered everything he thought was going to happen. And sometimes doubt is born in disappointment. Not rebellion, disappointment. Sometimes people don't doubt because they lack information. Sometimes they doubt because they're carrying pain. Sometimes they doubt because prayers went unanswered. Or because healing didn't come. Or because a relationship ended. Sometimes people doubt because they buried somebody they loved. Or because life didn't turn out the way they expected. And suddenly, all the things they once felt sure about don't feel quite as certain anymore. And I think that's why this sermon matters. Because many people don't struggle with doubt because they're rebellious. They struggle with doubt because they are wounded. And that's a very different thing. You see it all throughout Scripture. Think about Elijah. One of the greatest victories in the entire Bible happens in 1 Kings 18. Fire falls down from the heavens. God answers dramatically. The prophets of Baal are defeated. It's an incredible moment, an incredible battle. Then one chapter later in the book of Kings, Elijah is hiding in the wilderness, asking God to take his life. What happened? Nothing changed about God, but everything felt different to Elijah. His emotions changed, his circumstances changed, his perspective changed. And then suddenly, questions appeared. Or think about John the Baptist. This one has always been amazing to me to think about. John the Baptist is the one who baptized Jesus. He saw the Spirit descend from the heavens. He heard the voice of the Father. And then John proclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God." And yet, later on, sitting in prison, John sends messengers to Jesus asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or should I expect someone else?" Have you ever thought about that? He was there. He heard the voice. He saw the Spirit come on Jesus. Yet later, he's sitting in prison, sending messages to Jesus saying, "Are you the one?" John the Baptist, the same John, the one who introduced Jesus, the one who baptized Jesus, now asking questions. Why? Because prison has a way of creating questions. Pain has a way of creating questions. Disappointment has a way of creating questions. And if John the Baptist could struggle, maybe we shouldn't be surprised when we do too. Even Jeremiah wrestled. Even Habakkuk wrestled. Even David wrestled. Faithful people have always wrestled. The question isn't whether questions will come. The question is, what will we do when they do come? And I think this is where we have a little bit of theology here, right? This is where I believe Vineyard theology is a bit helpful. We live in a tension of the already and the not yet. I think you guys have heard that expression before, right? The kingdom has come, but it has not fully come. Jesus has won the victory, but we still live in a broken world. We pray for healing, and sometimes healing comes. We've seen it. We've celebrated it. We pray for people and watch God move. But sometimes healing doesn't come. It doesn't come the way we hoped. At least not yet. We pray for restoration. Some restoration happens, but sometimes we're still waiting. We pray for breakthrough. And sometimes breakthrough comes quickly. But sometimes we're still standing in faith years later. And if we're not careful, we start believing that unanswered questions mean that God is absent. But that's not what Scripture teaches us. The kingdom has come, but it has not fully come. And we're living in that tension. Not because God is unfaithful, but because we're still in the middle of the story. Everything will be made new when he comes again. Now let's go back to The second scripture reading this morning, so Mark 9:24. And I think this might be one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible. A father comes to Jesus desperate for help. His son is suffering. He's exhausted. He's out of ways to do anything. He's out of answers. He's tried everything. And Jesus says to him, everything is possible for one who believes. And then immediately after Jesus says that, the father cries out, I believe, help my unbelief. I love that verse. I believe, but help my unbelief. Because both statements are true. I believe, but I also need help with my unbelief. Faith and doubt. Trust and uncertainty. Hope and questions. Living together in the same heart. Most of us think that faith and doubt are opposites. The Bible often presents them as companions. Abraham, he believed and questioned. Moses believed and questioned. David believed and questioned. Jeremiah believed and questioned. John the Baptist believed and questioned. Faith and doubt can exist in the same person at the same time. Doubt is not proof that faith is dead. Sometimes, doubt proves faith is fighting. Now, let me say that one more time. Doubt is not proof that faith is dead. Sometimes, doubt proves faith is fighting. Dead faith doesn't wrestle. Dead faith doesn't ask. Dead faith doesn't seek. People wrestle because they care. People wrestle because they're trying to hold on. People wrestle because they're trying to make sense of what they believe. Faith is not certainty. Faith is trust. Those are different things. A few weeks ago, Jessica and I found ourselves living this out. And it wasn't some big, huge spiritual crisis. It is big, but not that sense of spiritual bigness. It was a house. And we shared a little bit of this with you guys. We were never planning on moving. We weren't looking to move. In many ways, we were content where we are, where we were. But over time, both Jessica and I started sensing that God might be leading us in a different direction. And the strange thing is that it wasn't something either of us were pushing for. It was just this growing sense that maybe God was doing something. So we started praying. We started talking. We started asking questions. We started trying to discern what God had in store for us. And if I'm being honest, there was a lot of moments where I wish God would just send me an email with the entire plan. That would be nice. An email that said, Dear Javine, here's exactly what's going to happen over the next 3 months. Everything will work out. You're welcome. In my opinion, that would be nice to know what's happening. But that's not usually how God works. Instead, we had questions. We had a lot of questions. Would our house sell? Would finances work? Were we hearing God correctly? Was this wisdom? Was this emotion? Was this really God leading us? For 7 or 8 weeks, the last 7 or 8 weeks, we lived in that tension. Some days felt more hopeful. Some days felt uncertain. Some days we wondered if we misunderstood everything. But now, looking back, we realize something. The presence of questions did not mean the absence of faith. We kept praying together. We prayed as a family. We prayed individually. We kept seeking God. We kept taking the next step we believed He was putting in front of us, one step at a time. And eventually, God worked it out. Not because we had certainty, but because we kept trusting Him one step at a time. And I think that's important. We struggled, we doubted, but we took one step at a time that we believed He was leading us in. And now we are here. We are 7 days away from closing our sale and a new purchase, and we'll be moving the next 2 weeks. And yes, our house is hectic, but we are happy that we have stepped in faith. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. Because sometimes we think that faith means not having questions. But often, faith looks like taking the next step while having some questions and not knowing what comes after that step. Now look at how Jesus responds to Thomas. This is, I think, one of the most beautiful parts of the story. Jesus doesn't shame him. Jesus doesn't embarrass him. Jesus doesn't humiliate him. He doesn't say, "How dare you question?" Instead, Jesus comes close. He comes closer to him. He invites Thomas to look, to touch, to see. What if God is not afraid of your questions? What if God is not intimidated by your doubts? He already knows them anyways. He's invited you to bring them into the light instead of hiding them in the dark. One of the things I love about Jesus is how patient He is. He is even more patient with honest seekers. He rebukes hypocrisy. He rebukes pride. He rebukes hard hearts. But He is remarkably gentle with people who generally want to know Him. Thomas gets an invitation. The father in Mark 9 receives compassion. Jacob wrestles all night, and God lets him wrestle. Why? Because wrestling isn't rejection. It's an engagement. People who don't care don't wrestle. People who are done don't wrestle. People wrestle because they want to know. They want to understand. They want to stay connected. Or maybe some of you need to hear this today. Your questions don't scare God. Your doubts don't intimidate Him. Your uncertainty doesn't surprise Him. God doesn't think less of you because you have questions. Bring them to Him. And here's something I've learned over the years. God's presence and my awareness of God's presence are not the same thing. Sometimes God feels close. Sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes I sense Him clearly, and sometimes I don't. But His presence is based on His promise, not my perception, not my emotions, not my circumstances, but His promise. And He has promised never to leave us or forsake us. Amen? So what do we do with doubt? We bring it to Jesus. Not after we've solved it, not after we fix it, not after we have it all figured out. We bring it honestly, like Thomas did. like David, like Elijah, like John the Baptist, maybe like the father in Mark 9. And maybe today your prayer isn't, God, I have it all figured out. Maybe your prayer is, I believe, help my unbelief. Maybe your prayer this morning is, God, I'm trying to trust you, help me trust you more. Maybe it's, God, I don't understand, but I'm still here. And maybe that's enough for today. Because the goal of faith isn't certainty. The goal of faith is Jesus. And people who keep walking towards Jesus, even with questions, are still walking in faith. So I'm coming back to another question for you. And I want you to think about it for a second. What question have you been afraid to bring to God? What question have you been afraid to bring to God? It's not about what answer do you need for that question, but what question have you been carrying? What doubt have you been hiding? What uncertainty have you been pretending isn't there? Just take a moment now. Take a moment, be honest. Because maybe your next step isn't finding the answer today. Maybe your next step is bringing the question to Jesus. Maybe your next step is simply praying, I believe, but help my unbelief. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you are patient with us. Thank you that you are not afraid of our questions. Thank you that you do not turn away honest seekers. Today we bring our doubts, our uncertainties, our disappointments, our unanswered prayers. We bring to you the things that we don't understand, the things that we've been afraid to say out loud, things that we've been carrying quietly. Lord, meet us in our questions. Remind us that your presence is not based on our feelings, but on your promise. Help us to trust you, even when we don't understand. Help us to follow you, even when we don't know or don't have every answer. And remind us that faith is not certainty. Faith is trusting you, one step at a time. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.